Please listen carefully.
And now, live from the attic that smells like a basement in McKinney, Texas, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, featuring two guys high-fiving with words, Kevin and Mikey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And today on the podcast, by popular demand,
dun, dun, dun.
We are once again building a crew.
Oh, one of our favorite things to do.
It is one of our favorite things to do. And we have probably some of the best feedback we've got from anything.
I believe it. Because anybody can play along. Like, yeah. This is for everybody.
I mean, other than the great, wonderful people we've interviewed, we've heard good things about that, but that has more to do with the fact that our guests have been great.
Yes.
The stuff we do on our own, we've over and over again have heard from strangers even that, I like it when you build a crew.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've been on the hunt. We've built, golly, what, we've done a Starship crew.
Yep.
We've done a Dungeons & Dragons crew.
A sitcom family. That was one of my favorites.
And we've been looking around for other stuff to build. So if you guys have any ideas, too, of things you want us to build, hit us up on our social media platforms or Gmail us. We'll give you that stuff at the end.
We're open for all thought experiments, for sure.
Yeah. So, but this one, we came across one around Christmas time because they were talking about how Die Hard is a Christmas movie. It was that argument.
Yes.
Which we're not talking about here now because I don't really care either way.
I was going to argue it, but we can pass over.
Well, we can argue it, but I don't really. I mean, sure, if you want it to be a Christmas movie, sure. If you don't want it to be a Christmas movie, I guess, but it's a Christmas party, right?
It is. That's, here's my 2 cents.
Well, let's go there. Come on.
Yeah, here's my 2 cents. Here's my 2 cents, real quick. And if you want to dispute it, we can, but I qualify Die Hard as a Christmas movie. Like, there's a group of people out there that will do that as well, but most Christmas movies are like, my parents are now Santa Claus, and we have to discover the true meaning of Christmas, and there's snowmen and reindeer and Rudolph's there, and there's so many of those that it's almost overexposure. So Die Hard is the action movie that has Christmas as a backdrop. I'm all on board just for the change of pace. That's it. That's my 2 cents argument. It's something a little different. It's not your typical Christmas movie, but the Christmas party is a backdrop to the whole thing, so I'm on board with it.
And yeah, and I mean, what did you want them to like hit on it? I'm not saying you, this is the collective you.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, were the people who are against calling it a Christmas movie, they want them to hit on it harder, where like some of the lines go into cheesy Schwarzenegger world where it's like, ho, 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 and he blows something up. You know what I mean?
Heal some reindeer games for you. That type of stuff. I think that is the main argument. It's not like there are no Christmas themes in this movie. It just happens to be the backdrop. Yeah. But that's my argument for it.
No one's going
to
do that anyway. I mean, what he's doing in there?
Yes.
He's
guns and explosions, yeah. And
he's going to throw. I don't want to throw this Christmas stuff.
But Die Hard was the inspiration for this mainly because it is a heist movie.
Yeah.
Regardless of if it's a Christmas movie or not. One thing it absolutely is a heist movie.
And it's also, but the thing is we kind of wanted to switch the focus a little bit because it's like a heist movie where it's really the bad guys. Usually most heist movies, most caper films, the protagonists are actually the heist people.
Yes.
This one, the protagonist is the person who's against them.
The bad guys,
The bad guys. So we're kind of taking it more from a Ocean's 11 angle.
Yep.
From a, what are some other good ones?
Italian Job. I mean, stuff like that, where it's just a gang of people that either have been wronged or seeking some sort of treasure.
Yes.
You know, Indiana Jones is a heist person.
Well, that's true.
Because he thinks it belongs in a museum.
Belongs in a museum.
Exactly. So we're sort of operating on those moral ends. But here's my question for you. Do you we're saying we're building a heist crew. Is there a treasure that you have in mind? Is that one of your contemplations?
Oh, golly. I didn't even think of it at all.
Me neither. That's what I was asking you off the top of the dome right now.
No, not really. I'm almost thinking of that this is a crew being built to take on many a caper.
Any opportunity that presents
any
itself.
Any opportunity, like a professional heist squad.
I love it. We're on the same page.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
We're not stealing the Declaration of Independence, because Nick Cage already did that.
No.
But we are stealing something of high value. I love it.
I was thinking along the lines of there's a British show called Hustle.
Oh, okay.
Where there's a permanent crew, and each episode is them pulling off a hustle.
I believe
it. Pulling off a caper, pulling off a heist. So that's kind of the angle I was going for, like a weekly episodic thing. What's this week's hustle?
Yes.
So Hustle's a good show. You should watch it.
I will check it out. But I'm with you on that. It's a team you assemble to get any job that's done with them. It's like our gaming group. Like, if we have an obstacle or an opportunity, we figure out how we best handle it.
Yes. So what exactly are we getting here? What are we looking for? We are looking for, it's a five-person list that we found.
Yes.
And you were looking for a leader. We're looking for the tech slash brains. We're looking for a wheelman.
The driver.
The driver. That's a movie. We're looking for the kind of jack of all trades, the decoy bait lookout
yes.
type character. And then we need the muscle.
You need that strong arm to cause it. When things go south, which they always seem to do, you yep. need somebody that can punch their way out of it.
So we threw a dart at the board, and we're going to start with the jack of all trades one, the decoy, the bait, the
yes.
lookout. The,
yes.
Known on TV tropes as the distraction.
Ooh, okay.
So that's kind of what I was aiming it for. Someone who, they're usually like a jack of all trades. They're like the con artist of the group.
Yes,
the
I believe it.
Professional criminal almost.
Yeah, the yeah. one that's got to misdirect, that's got to divert attention, that's sort of on the outskirts of things, but still making things happen so that the main core of the group can achieve the mission.
Yes.
Yes.
So that is what we're doing today, is the lookout, the decoy, the bait, the distraction.
Dun, dun, dun.
And we've flipped a Mikey coin, and he's going first.
I'm going first. Okay, well, I will bring up this caveat just because I find it hilarious, but in our behind the scenes making a podcast aspect of it, Mikey got caught up on the first draft of it where we were going to say we were going to only do it from video games. So my first picks are from video games. It won't be that way going in the future, but that is where I drew from for this, and it's going to be hilarious, but that's how it is. We have evolved since then, but my notes are going to be video game only, and still works. It's going to be great.
That's
but,
fine. That's a, I think we're both mutually taking the blame for this, because it was initially, you can only pick characters from video games.
Yeah.
And that's what Mikey went with. And then, I mean, this was something like we pulled out from months ago.
Yeah.
And Mikey's like, so you picked all video game characters, right? And I'm like, no.
But that's real people stuff. That is, everybody's sort of having a hard time keeping focused on what's everything that's going on. We are in the same world that you are, so I think everybody's in the same boat. We're all a little scattershot when it comes to it, so this is having fun.
And the beauty is, Mikey didn't have to say anything.
Exactly.
I picked all girlfriends from one TV show, all from the Wonder Years, in one of my picks. You could have just went like, I just felt like doing video games. But
I would have yelled at you. It was like, why aren't these people from video games, though?
Oh, yeah.
Just teasing. I will get it started because I flipped my two-headed coin, which comes up rigged, so I get to go first because you do a whole bunch of talking up front. So my turn to talk. But here's my silly decoy bait, and it comes from video games, but it comes from The Legend of Zelda. Surprise for Mikey.
Mikey's favorite video game.
Mikey's favorite video game. Specifically, this comes from Ocarina of Time, the Nintendo 64 mm-hmm. version of Legend of Zelda. But in that game, you get a little glowing fairy dot that is called Navi.
Tinkerbell?
Same.
Wait, Navi? Isn't that what they're called in Avatar?
Yes, but Legend of Zelda did it first.
Wow, so what is happening right now?
I'm rallying against blue people and James Cameron, but Navi was first in Legend of Zelda. Doesn't make it any better, though, because Navi is Tinkerbell if you turn Tinkerbell's annoyance level up to 11.
Wait a minute. Tinkerbell's kind of annoying.
She is. So turn that up to 11, and you got Navi, because in the game, in the Zelda game, Navi's whole purpose is sort of to help guide you through the world and teach you how to do things. But once you figure out how to do things, Navi still operates like you're a dummy that doesn't know how to do things.
Oh.
So it's this little fairy that chimes in every once in a while and goes, hey, listen. Hey, hello. Hey, look over here. Hey, listen. Kevin's making a face right now, and I probably real loud on the microphone, so everybody gets the same impression, but
Does she look like a little glowing paperclip?
Looks like Tinkerbell. It's,
you're sure it's not a paperclip?
It's not a paperclip.
Do you remember the
it
paperclip?
It could be Clippy from Microsoft. Yeah, exactly. Hey, looks like you're having trouble spelling. But that it, you're not wrong. It's that type of persona, but I think that works well as the decoy, attention seeker, bait. It is the person that knows how to create attention in a moment where focus needs to be diverted, you know? Yep. So if you're Link and you're going off in the wrong direction, this little glowing ball is going to be like, hey, dummy, go this way, you know? So if your heist team is trying to crack into a safe and the police are showing up, you need a little glowing ball that shows up and says, hey, police, go this way. You know, it's that sort of diversion, attention grabbing. Here's what you need to do. I'm annoying enough that you listen to me. It's a glowing blue dot, so it's not super effective, but that is my third pick.
Navi. Oh, man. Yes. See, now I feel like I'm going to get into my picks and everyone's going to, I know we're going to get messages and we're going to get told like, why didn't you just do video games? It'd be more fun that way.
No.
Mikey's first one was so fun.
Oh, it's only going to get weirder. So here we go.
Oh man.
But that's the whole point. That's,
why didn't you limit yourself, Kevin?
No, you're shutting down what the fun part about Build-A-Crew is that it's your picks. It's anything you want to see happen because we're still talking, like, even for my pick, we're talking about a blue glowing fairy that exists in the real world somehow. So I have to justify that a whole bunch. You know, there's a bunch of flaws in there, but it's still my pick for third. So,
yeah. Well, yeah. That's a good pick.
But now we're on to your pick. Who do you have for third? Okay. Who's your lookout? Who's your bait? Who's your decoy?
My third pick is not from video games, or it actually probably was in one of the video games from this property. So there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, this fella turned out to be the bait in a lot of situations.
Okay.
He has been the lookout in a lot of situations.
Awesome.
And he's had to distract and decoy. He's done it before. Fella named Xander Harris.
Oh, Xander Harris.
From Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
One of my favorites.
Television show. So, yeah, this was also one that I pulled because I know Mikey loves Buffy.
Yep.
And I know that he can talk about Xander probably even more than I can.
I'm already on board, yeah.
But Xander, of course, played by Nicholas Brendon, and then also twice by his twin brother, Kelly Donovan, which is a funny tidbit.
It only happened in a few episodes, but it happened.
But and funny that they have different last names, but no, those are their middle names.
Yep.
Hollywood. Anyway.
I think it's all about that to qualify to get into SAG, you have to have a specific name.
You do.
Yeah.
You do. And I think their last name is the very common Schultz.
Yes.
So
Already been claimed.
I'm sure Nicholas Schultz and Kelly Schultz probably were claimed in vaudeville. You know? Oh.
Yeah, at least in the early 1900s.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
That's the weird thing about that thing. It's like the person hasn't worked for 30 years because they're dead and you still can't take their name.
They're still on the record, yep.
Weird. So Xander is one of the Scooby gang.
He is.
And he... Buffy, do we really have to break down Buffy to everybody? Why not? You had to break down what the little glowing paperclip annoying Tinkerbell was. But Buffy the Vampire Slayer, if you don't know, and how could you not, but Buffy is a cheerleader who finds out that she actually has supernatural powers and she's supposed to be fighting vampires.
Yes, she's chosen. She's a slayer.
And yes, she's a slayer. And she's in high school as a cheerleader, so she kind of gathers this group of friends that help her fight vampires because it just happens to be, spoiler alert, that there's a hellmouth on top of their school, or under their school, I guess. Their school's on top of it.
Flip
that. In the fashion of Willy Wonka. And so she has the Scooby gang, and you know, you got Willow and Xander and Cordelia, and that's the base, right? And then they start adding.
They have the librarian Giles.
Yeah, Giles. Well, he's the watcher.
He's the watcher, so. But he's part. He is the one that sort of controls the Scooby gang.
Yeah. So Xander is an interesting character. The most interesting thing, he's perfect for the job. Let's get into the job first of all. He's perfect for the job.
Yep.
Because, like I said, he's done it before to the point that it is often argued in the show, why do I have to be the decoy again?
It's true.
Like, he's vampire bait so much of the time.
Always.
And but he's always up for it. I think a lot of it has to do with that he's in love with all the girls around him and he's trying to impress them because he has a sense of inadequacy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, believe it or not, that stuff is studied in gender studies programs. If you're like, what is this gender studies? You hear about it.
Yeah,
and it's often a joke.
I believe it.
With comedians and stuff.
Like, yeah.
You know, it used to be the hippie kid is taking, they used to be like Chicano studies or whatever they used to do.
The liberal arts major classes. Yeah.
But,
I get it.
But now the joke is like, oh, she's taking gender studies, but whatever. The thing about that is that they have the classes. What do they do in the classes?
Yep.
One of the things is they use Xander from Buffy the Vampire Slayer to show his position as being like on the outside, looking in. He comes from like a working class background.
Yep.
And Buffy's like well off. The other kids in the school are kind of portrayed as being a little preppier than him.
Yeah, everybody sort of has their own situation. I'm with you.
They use him as an example of he's a good guy who's feels a little bit less masculine than he should.
Absolutely, because in that show, the whole Scooby Gang has powers with the exception of Xander.
Yeah.
Xander doesn't really have anything. He doesn't have a special skill set other than being a good dude and knowing what to do in the right situation.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't have any witch powers like Willow or any Slayer powers like Buffy. He's just sort of hanging out being like, I know you guys are the good guys. I want to be a part of it. What can I do?
Yes.
But that also means he often ends up being the decoy or the bait or, hey, you be the weakling human while we figure out what's going on behind the scenes.
Yes, exactly. So perfect guy for the job. He just has so much experience doing it. Now, the reason why I put him on three is because he wouldn't do anything against the law like that. He's too good.
He's human. Yeah, yep.
He's too good of a character. And I want pre-eye loss. Once he loses his eye, he gets much darker.
In the show?
Yeah.
Here, I'll make one nerd point, though. Xander with an eye patch in the comic books, because they continued the series in the comic books, gets a whole bunch more badass, I think, because they could take liberties with the comic books. But I'm with you on the show. They sort of say, hey, he suffered this loss, so he's sort of down in his game, maybe.
Yeah, but he turns into emo Xander.
Here's the point I will grant you, though. I will take you can have Xander in the show, but I will grant you the extra power that Xander in real life has a twin.
Yeah.
So using twins to your advantage in a heist.
Oh,
the decoy possibilities are endless because you can have them be in two different locations to confuse whoever's trying to stop you on this heist. Oh, 100%. Great pick.
Yes. So, all right. What's your next pick?
All righty.
From a video game.
From a video game. Surprising nobody. But this is relevant because there's a whole bunch of things going on currently that this relates to. But have you ever played the Ratchet and Clank series for PlayStation?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. Me too. They're one of my, they're sort of Sony's answer to the Mario franchise in that it's a platformer with puzzles, but Ratchet and Clank has been going for at least three console generations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, spoiler alert, my second pick for Lookout Decoy is Clank. Not the main character, but his robot sidekick. Because his robot sidekick can turn into a security camera. His robot sidekick can turn into a helicopter drone. His robot sidekick can do surveillance around whatever they're doing and sort of mess with machinery and mess with gadgets. Because I hear heist, I think it's a bank or a some high security vault. You know, that's where my brain first goes. So I'm like, where's the robot that's going to help me circumvent all this? And that's Clank from Ratchet and Clank.
Clank.
Exactly. It's funny because recently they did all the PS5 news.
Uh-huh.
Ratchet & Clank is one of the series that's going to prevail. That's one of the ones I'm looking forward to. And it is mainly because of his sort of dry humor, low-key robot sidekick that's sort of, you're an idiot, which I'm assuming the rest of my heist team will be because that's Mikey's picks, but it is the sane man, the rational one, the logical one in the group that says, "Hey, you guys have all your adventures, blow up whatever you want, but also be aware that this contingent is on corner 3 or there's a security lock at B2 on the grid. It's Clank is the robot that would oversee everything and sort of be the lookout, be the decoy if something goes wrong, all that sort of stuff."
So the Ratchet and Clank's making it to the new Wi-Fi router being put out by Sony.
Exactly.
Those two.
That console is so weird looking.
Let's look at Wi-Fi router and the Xbox. It looks like a mini fridge.
Props to Sony for, I think I'm on record on the podcast for saying if you name your console, give it weird names because that's what consoles are all about. So I can't really be mad about consoles that are weird designs because it's a video game console. Go nuts with it. Have mm-hmm. fun. So I can't really argue against Sony for that, but man, it is weird looking.
PS5.
Yeah. You want stuff named Autumn into Dawn or whatever.
I do. Here's one last tidbit about Ratchet & Clank series. The one that's coming out for PS5 is going to be the 16th installment in this Ratchet & Clank series.
Wow, really?
I know. You would only think there was like 3 or 4 games in that series. Yeah. I think I've only played 5 or 6 of them. I didn't know there were 16.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. But it shows how good Clank is in clinch.
How many Marios are there? Are there that many Marios?
I would imagine it would be comparable.
Yeah. This seems like they are trying to go tit for tat.
Nintendo does so well with Mario that Sony has to at least pay attention to it and be like, we need our own thing. What's our Mario?
What's Xbox's Mario? Master Chief?
there has been a whole bunch of Halos, I will say that much.
It's just funny. It's like, cute little Italian plumber. Cute little, what is he exactly?
Ratchet is a raccoon sort of fox-looking dude, and Clank is a robot.
Yeah, and then it's like...
But Master Chief's
it's like
Uber Marine.
Oh my gosh.
But you make a valid point in that Halo's been around forever. I just don't imagine Master Chief stomping on mushrooms and sort of taking the flags and stars to get the power up.
Bling, 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 bling. That's great. All right. My number 2.
Bring it on.
Not from a video game at all. But also from a Joss Whedon property.
I love it.
I picked a character from Firefly who's a minor character who is a bad guy.
Okay.
Or a bad girl.
Oh.
Because sometimes the best distraction is a femme fatale.
Always.
So I picked Saffron, played by Christina Hendricks.
Yes.
Who you might remember from Our Mrs. Reynolds, and she actually shows up later in a later episode, too, when they're going after the Lassiter laser. So, spoiler alert, background, all this stuff.
Give it
There's
to me.
Not tons of episodes, but Firefly is one of my favorite things ever. The Joss Whedon TV show that was canceled before it ever should have been because Fox.
Because Fox and because, television executives.
Yeah, so this character is either known as Saffron, Bridget, or Yolanda. Because she has aliases, because she is a criminal. So
I'm with you.
We run into her as Mal. So Firefly, there's a spaceship in space. It's like it's like a Western. Go watch it. The Captain Mal of the ship, they're hanging out on a planet, and they go to a party, and he gets liquored up.
Yep.
And then he finds out in the morning that he got married.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. And who he got married to was this innocent farm girl named Saffron, who seemed very, had Amish vibes coming out of her and stuff. It was
down to earth, very wholesome.
It was a whole weird thing. And then I just recently watched this episode with my kids. Spoiler alert here, because I mean, they were really surprised by the turn that happens.
They
did not see it coming. At all.
That's good.
So, because what ends up happening is she's playing this, I have been raised to be married away. That's what we do. They raise us to be married off. And
it's kind of a double agent, but not really. But
And then next thing you know, she manages to kiss Mal and she has poison lipstick that knocks him out.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And then she tries to take over the ship because she does actually. She knocks Wash out and everything. Yep. And the whole point is to get the ship to some pirates so they can salvage it. Because Firefly class ships are all over. There's tons of them. So the parts are very resellable.
I believe it.
And that's basically where we're first introduced to her. It's a double cross. She's a criminal.
Okay.
She has some kind of and she has a run-in with Inara, who's the companion, the professional consort that's on the ship. And it comes across that she has some companion training. When the companions are these, she has this seduction training, this manipulation, this,
exactly.
Then Firefly, they have these, they're basically professional prostitutes. Or legal sanctioned.
Yes.
They're more based on geishas than anything. So
I'm with you.
So she has these seduction skills. She has the acting skills.
Yep.
She came across as this Amish rube, at the end of the episode, Mal eventually finds her and stuff ensues. But then later on, there's not very many episodes, but she shows back up later. There's a callback and they run into her again. She's married to one of Mal's contacts and they immediately pull their guns out on each other because the jig is up and he wants to get rid of her.
Yeah.
But she's like, no, I got a job you can do. And of course, Mal hears money. And so she literally has a caper, a heist for them to pull off.
What we're talking about right now.
So to steal the Lassiter laser, which means a lot to our group. The Lassiter laser.
Shout out Lassiters.
Yeah. And of course, that goes all kinds of sideways, too, because, you know, double cross. And that's where they find out she knows about it because she was married to this other guy who works for the Alliance. And it's all twisty turvy. She's perfect. She's got seduction skills. She's got a criminal mind.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just whatever you need to do. If she needs to look out, she's perfectly capable. Distraction, she can just, this Christina Hendricks plays her. She can distract you all day long.
Yeah,
you
know? Regardless of, yeah.
And even when she runs in with Inara, who's a trained in seduction herself,
mm-hmm.
and it's basically they have this funny like standoff, and she's like, you're good. Who are you? So she can seduce. Doesn't matter your sex.
Not at all.
You know,
and it's props to Firefly for being that twisty and turny in their narrative that they have all these character stories interacting the way they do. Christine Hendricks, one, she's great in Firefly and adapting all these different personas, but she's just a great actress overall. So to have somebody that can fit into the role that the situation demands is props to your heist. Because who knows what's going to show up?
Yep.
Like, it could be somebody coming down the street, but Christina Hendricks is going to handle it.
Yes.
Regardless of who is coming down the street.
So that's my choice. As Mal called her at one point, Yosef Bridge, because...
I don't remember that part.
He mixed all her aliases together.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah.
Because he didn't know what to call her. We don't even really know what her real name is. So I like calling her Saffron or our Mrs. Reynolds.
There you go. That's a great pick.
My number two pick.
Number two pick. Which means we are now officially up to, drum roll, provided by Kevin, number one picks. Here we go. Mikey's, of course, comes from a video game. We already established that.
You think you messed up, but I'm going to take all the crap for this. I know I am.
No.
I am.
I focused on the early draft. This is all on me. But here's where the funny lies. Because my number one pick is based on all of his video game abilities. So laugh with me on this, because my number one pick for Lookout and Decoy is Lakitu from Mario Kart, from Mario. You know the little Koopa that rides in the cloud in every Mario game you've ever played? That Koopa that rides in the cloud is my number one lookout. And I'm going to defend it right now, because here it goes, right? Every time you play Mario Kart, you don't know there's somebody behind you with a camera. You recognize that there's somebody's in front of you with a stoplight.
Yes.
But Lakitu follows you everywhere you go with a camera.
Oh, he's running the camera?
In his cloud. He's floating above everything. You don't even notice him. He's in the background, but he's still getting his job done.
Can you see him ever?
Only when he picks you up out of a river when you fall off the track.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's that guy. Okay, so here's the two funny twist on this. Because, one, either we live in a world where my heist team can have video game characters... And
we do now.
Exactly. But the question of whether the human characters recognize that video game entities are real people or not.
You have cartoon characters in your TV family, so.
Okay.
This is the way of Mikey's picks.
It is the way of Mikey's picks. So here's the weird tangent. But Lakitu shows up. He's doing recon on the building in his little cloud. He's at Nakatomi Tower, and he's doing all the floors to figure out where Bruce Willis is and Hans Gruber is. But he's out of sight. Because even if you don't believe in video game characters, he looks kind of like a drone that you could just fly with a remote control. Like, oh, this is a cartoon character that somebody's just messing with. But no, if you have a problem, he can drop turtle spike shells on you. He can record everything you want to do. He can pick you up and take you to a new location. Like, he can dispose of any threat because he's airborne constantly. So the Koopa Troopa that is my pick for number one is Lakitu. It's the guy in the cloud with the goggles. Anything you need him to do, he can get it accomplished for sure.
Oh my gosh. Yours was like so much more difficult and so much more fun. I don't see why you think I'm not going to take crap over it.
Oh, we're good.
Oh my goodness gracious. Yeah.
It's that video game restriction. It leads to creativity. That's how it goes. I know.
See, that's why they're like, you should have done it that way, Kevin. That was a better idea.
But I also have to justify why a Koopa exists in the real world. Like, my heist group is taking over a bank or stealing the Declaration of Independence or stealing the Ark of the Covenant. You know, why do they have a weird 16-bit turtle with them that's floating on a cloud? Doesn't really work, but I'm just going to say it works for my pick, so done.
Oh, man, alive. I feel like I messed this one up.
No. This is all me. Video game picks, man. But that does lead us to our number one picks for Kevin. Who you got?
I picked someone that I just want around because of the person who plays him.
Yes.
That is a very Mikey thing to do.
Oh, I love it.
But I want to do it. I picked a character named Patrick Kubi.
I don't recognize that
I know
name.
Because you don't like to watch this show because too much of a bummer for you.
Oh, no. Here he comes.
He's from Breaking Bad.
Oh, Breaking Bad. That makes total sense.
Bill Burr's character.
I didn't even know Bill Burr was on Breaking Bad. Continue.
Bill Burr's in Breaking Bad. Yes. Okay. Bill Burr's in Breaking Bad. It's one of his first big breaks. He plays Patrick Kubi, known as Kubi, throughout the show. He's one of Saul Goodman's henchmen, and he is a perfect distraction, con artist, con man, lookout, all this stuff, because they do a heist, and he's part of it, and he is the distraction. And he does tons of other stuff, too. He's shadows people. He is spies on people.
Okay.
He's part of Saul Goodman's A-team. So much like how we've said before, Vince Gilligan likes to hire comedians to put in his shows.
Yeah.
And, of course, Bill Burr is one of the greatest stand-up comedians ever.
Absolutely.
So he's a part of Saul's A-team, along with a character named Huel Barbineau, who's played by Lavelle Crawford, another stand-up comedian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're kind of the terrible twosome in a lot of this stuff, but I don't know. I want Bill Burr in the thing. He plays it. It's so funny because just like how when he was in Star Wars, we found out that there was a planet that has Boston accents on it.
Yes.
So this too, they just wrote in that, and it's kind of interesting too because it says something about his background, but the sentence can be read one of two ways. And this is a minor character, but golly, Breaking Bad's so deep. And they put these little things in there that for you to like pull strings on.
I believe it, yeah, and to build the world.
One of the characters said Boston PD ran him out of town a few years back.
Okay.
So it's like, does that mean he is a cop or an ex-cop? Like a bad cop?
Or a criminal that just had a record they were finally like, right, you need to leave.
Right. But I like to think it's the former because if he's still running around causing issues. Just it's with all his skills that he has, with the able to like shadow people, and he does the thing where he sits in his car and watches that kind of stuff.
Yep,
it just seems to have those police officer sensibilities.
I believe it.
But here's the big thing that really, when I thought of it, and he's perfect for it. So I'm going on the nose. I'm not being as creative as Mikey is, but and Mikey hasn't seen Breaking Bad because it bums him out, right?
Yep. I tapped out on season 3.
So, spoiler alert. Yeah, I don't think he shows up until season 4 or it's the later seasons. It's when. So, the deal is that the heist part of it is the train heist.
Okay.
And this is spoilers, but there's at a point where Walter White, the main character who's the school teacher who ends up making... I'm going to have to explain Breaking Bad.
Bryan Cranston, I got you.
He's a school teacher ends up making meth, and he starts getting really successful because he knows how to make it out of the actual methylamine.
I gotcha.
Instead of doing the way that, you know, the Sudafed and stuff like that. Yep. So, and they find that there's a train that has 1,000 gallons of it on it in one of those containers, one of those liquid train car things.
But they actually need to steal from a train.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Right. They're going to suck it out of the train.
I didn't know that was part of Breaking Bad. That makes me a little more interested.
It is part of Breaking Bad. And as such, to get the train to stop, they have a truck stalled, air quotes, on the tracks. And the person who's driving that truck is Kubi.
Oh, Bill Burr. I gotcha.
So there's a lot of like fast talking, sorry, I can't get it going, you know.
Yep.
And then, of course, stuff like inevitably stuff goes wrong in the show. This is a show where stuff goes wrong as opposed to some shows where everything goes right. Everything goes wrong, and a good Samaritan comes by and is like, oh, you just have your thing. This is easy. I'll help you push it off for you. We'll get it, you know. And of course, he's trying to like, nah, I got the.
I'm stuck here. It's all right.
Like, it's you know, Triple A's coming. You know, it's just that type of thing. So
that's perfect though, because much like your Xander pick, Bill Burr does no offense to Bill Burr, but it fits into there is an aspect to Decoy Lookout that should have that. Play dumb characteristic.
Yes.
You know, be like the dumb guy that's like, oh, I don't know how I got here.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Sorry, my bad. I'll leave. You know, just to blow off any suspicion. And Bill Burr is 100% perfect for that.
Yes. I was trying to build the perfect effective team. And but that's funny. That's hilarious.
Bill Burr is a great pick, though.
Yeah. The Kubi from Breaking Bad. Man, I wish you'd watch the show. I know it's a bummer, but...
Oh, it does bum me out.
It's such a good bummer.
We're all about positivity, but can't get behind watching something negative on purpose for hours on end.
Oh, man.
Hot take.
It's got like one of my notes here is Kubi's been...
Kubi's been what?
Kubi was spying on Badger and Skinny Pete.
I know those names, yeah. Badger's
and,
the Mexican
and
guy.
And all they talked about for 3 hours was something called Babylon 5.
The sci-fi show. I love it. Okay, maybe I have to give it a second look. That's what we're all about on our podcast. I'll give Breaking Bad a second look, but if I get real bummed out, it's up to you to hug me and make me feel better.
Well, I wonder how we can make you not get bummed out, because it's fictional.
But there's no redemption. Like, at the end of Breaking Bad, is there a happy ending?
No.
See, Mikey needs a happy ending.
Well, kind of. There kind of is. Well, it depends on how you look at it.
Does Bill Burr get away? Does Badger get away? Does somebody live or does everybody die?
No, everyone does not die.
Okay.
And no one's sure what happened to Kubi.
Okay.
As it says in my notes, Kubi's yes. ultimate fate is unknown.
Unknown.
In an effort to frighten him, Hank, who's a police officer, does posit that Walt could have killed him as a loose end. Walt's been killing loose ends.
He's good about tying up. Yep.
But who knows? He was never mentioned again after it.
Okay, well then I'll put this on archive and maybe we can go back to it, but maybe Breaking Bad is part of our reassumption series, because I am already on board with being against Breaking Bad.
Oh, so you're against it.
I am. But maybe we can do a podcast in the future where I come around and see the virtue and value of it. But like I'm saying, I need hugs afterwards because it seems real sad.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, it's not. I'm not someone who watches a lot of drama and stuff.
Yep.
Because it's mainly because most drama can tend toward melodrama, but this doesn't. This is really. It's really realistic. Everything that happens makes sense.
And I'm not disputing that. There is a logic to the world they've established. Like, the decisions that the characters make sense for the characters that they've set up. It just seems like everything takes a downward turn, and I'm like, I want to watch Cheers.
I gotcha. Now we're sussing. We're going off track here, but it's our podcast. You can't stop us.
And we're at the end notes, so we're all good.
How do you feel about, like, the Tarantino movies, though?
Tarantino movies even still have an upspike. Like, even as tragic as they get, the heroes usually get their way in the end of the day. Bill takes two movies, and Glorious Bastards is kind of Django Reinhardt. He gets his challenge, but even still, he is the Hollywood filmmaker that puts at least some sort of a bow tie on the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, but it ends, and
it does.
But it's yeah. I don't know. There is also, they just came out with that El Camino movie, which is an appendix to it.
It tells the story of Jesse, right? His partner. Uh-huh. Okay,
so.
That's just as good as well?
That's really good.
Okay.
That's crazy good. It's just like another episode of it.
I believe
basically.
It.
But, I mean, yeah. And then there's Better Call Saul, too, which is similar but different.
But that speaks to the creative mastery of what they put out, that there's so many spinoffs.
Yeah.
Because the first installment was so good that all these extra things came out of it. I can respect that. So I just have to prepare myself for it, but I'm ready for it. I'm just... It's Mikey preference to be, I guess, thumbs down against things that are on a negative ending.
I think if you look at it as a very dark comedy, which I think is what it actually is made to be.
Okay, I'm with you.
I think you'll be able to get through it better. I think that's part of the reason why he hired so many comedians. Because basically it is a...
That does make sense.
Basically, it's a horribly dark comedy.
Yep.
It's a comedy of errors.
But who better to play the comedic bits in those dark times than
right.
pro comedians?
I'm not saying it's like funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But I usually don't like stuff like that. But it was so good it transcended. I can't watch those. What are some of the other things that are kind of in that vein? Like
there's a whole bunch of negative stuff.
What's the thing with Claire Danes and stuff? What's that one?
My So-Called Life from the 90s?
No, the thing she's in now.
Oh, not The Americans? No.
Whatever. Anyway.
Homefront.
Yeah. Or like the House of Cards.
House of Cards.
But I don't know.
You make a strong argument for Breaking Bad. So I really think it could be, if not in the future of our podcast, in the future of Mikey's brain, I will reevaluate Breaking Bad and see how it goes.
And listen, watch it during the daytime when it's sunny outside.
And I can have a few episodes of Cheers afterwards.
Yeah,
or sure. Efforts for Family. Cause,
sure, yeah. If anything, find out what season Bill Burr shows up in and then just jump in there or something.
That's enough of a hook to get, like, because we've already mentioned numerous podcast episodes, but we are both Bill Burr fans. So if he's in it, I love his stint in The Mandalorian, so it might be worth it just to check out those Breaking Bad episodes. Yeah. I'm totally down.
So my distraction is Kubi from Breaking Bad, and your distraction is
Lakitu, the Koopa from Mario Kart.
If you're looking for a distraction, though, I mean, they're like, what the heck is that flying over there?
Exactly.
What is that up there?
It's a cloud with a turtle in it. But even better, once that happens, once he's made and people recognize what he is, he can start throwing down turtle shells that are spiked and throw everybody off their course. Oh, I love it.
So are you going to stick with just doing video games for this whole thing? Maybe you should.
It could be a funny bit. We'll see how it goes.
Maybe I need to be building a show and you need to be building a video game.
Oh, I'm on board. Let's do it.
So I can only pick stuff from, wait, I only pick television. What you if do? I only pick from television?
I'll only pick from video games.
Ah.
We'll see who has the better heist team.
I think we might have fixed it.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, yes, I'll only pick from television. So no movies for me then, even though it's based on Die Hard. But
yep, no superheroes.
I'll pick from television. Yeah, I know, right? It's gonna be interesting.
It'll be fun.
And Mikey will pick from video games.
That's the whole fun of Build-A-Cruise.
I need to be limited somehow. I just feel like I need to be limited somehow.
Okay.
So I'm going to limit myself to the small screen.
Yeah, TV only.
Yes.
I like it.
And you'll be video games.
Console only. Let's do it.
Yes.
I'm ready.
We're making the podcast live in front of you.
We're heisting it from each other.
We should have had this meeting a long time ago, but I'm going to blame it on pandemic.
Yes, pandemic for sure, but also this is life. This is what happens. We're flying by the seat of our pants and we're making our own thing, so here it comes.
When there's a pandemic. So anyway, hey, give us your picks. You don't have to limit yourself unless you want to. But you can give us your pick for the distraction, the decoy, bait, the lookout.
Yes.
Well, they're all kind of wrapped into one thing. And you can hit us up on our social medias at AssumingPod. You can Gmail us, assumingpositions@gmail.com. We want to thank you guys so much for listening. We hope we're giving you some fun content to kind of distract you for a little bit because everything's crazy. But we will get through it one way or the other.
Or the other, yes, with silliness intact.
And we want to thank That Guy Brad for doing our announcing and Not Scott Productions for our equipment, Jazzar for doing our music. And once again, thank all of you for listening to our plucky little podcast. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Positions. We are building a heist crew, a caper. I like the word caper.
I like it.
A caper crew because it's alliterative.
Double C's.
Caper crew. Okay. In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Mr. Owl.
How many?
many licks does it take to get to the...
Three.
We haven't done that in a long time. All right. In five, four, three...